I didn't worry about speaking in tongues, hallelujah, all Pima means there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. I just said, Pima. Amen. Thank God by the time I finished praying, whatever was happening, my dream lifted. Amen. It lifted. So we still believe in God for miracles. And the thing is, if we use God's word, the one thing God cannot deny is his word. Amen. The Bible said, God cannot lie. God will not lie. So everything, every promise in God's word is there for us. And Paul tells them, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, all of his promises are yea and amen. So God doesn't have a yea and a nay and any ambiguity. Whatever God says is yea and it is true, it is faithful, you can count on it. So we need to talk to God and say, well, God, this is what your word says. Amen. Because he's our heavenly father. Anybody ever have a problem? I know you, ladies, when y'all get in trouble, y'all run to y'all's mothers. Not mamas. Y'all in the north, mothers. Politically correct you. Y'all run to y'all mothers. Down south, we run to our mamas. Amen. But guys, when they get in trouble, they run to their fathers. Right? Well, your heavenly father is there at all times. Amen. Your heavenly father can be there when your mother can't be there, when your father can't be there. And all you have to do is go talk to him and talk to him through his word. Because when you speak God's word, that gets his attention. So when you're in a trial, use God's word, that gets his attention. Why? God cannot deny his word. Yes. Amen. So when we use the word, we get his attention because in the beginning was the word. Word was with God and the word. Alright, so we need to use God's word. It's there for us. And Paul tells the Hebrews the word of God is what? Quick and powerful. What does powerful mean? It means whatever you need, God has it. So in our times of need, use God's word. You can just sit back and say, well, God, this is what your word says. So you can get lost in the sea of God's word. And then you know what? Your burdens will begin to lift. Your trials will begin to lift because you're what? In the word of God. The summary said, in the word of God, I found a hiding place. So use God's word, amen? So let us go to our notes. And we still believe in miracles. We still believe there is nothing too hard for God. Luke 1, and we're going to start, and this, we all pretty familiar with this. This is when the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. Amen. Verse 30 reads, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor. Lord, help me to find favor with God. Amen. He said, Noah found favor with the Lord. We know it says grace, but grace in the Old Testament is also favor. Amen. They're interchangeable. So Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. When you're in that place, that means God is going to do something exceptional in your life. God's going to use you in an exceptional way. Why? Because you found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name. Now, you gotta now get the whole picture. He's talking to Mary, and Mary's like, I haven't had no relationship to have a child. Amen. And this is where we miss our miracles. Because we say, wait a minute, God, you're saying this, but how can this be? Because God said it. That's all you need is God said it. So, he shall be great, verse 32. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Mary is hearing all of this, but Mary realizes she has been pure. She has been a virgin unto God. So in her mind, she's like, how can this be? Because God said it. And that's all you need for a miracle. Not what someone else has said, but who said it? God said it. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. In other words, she had not had a relationship. relationship that would develop a child. So she said, how is this going to be? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that, it's not just a regular child, but it's a holy child, which shall be born unto thee, shall be called the Son of God. And he said, now, just to let you know that I'm performing miracles, remember your cousin, Elizabeth? Now, cousin doesn't mean cousin, because we know Elizabeth was an old lady and Mary was young. So sometimes when they use the words, and this is what we mess up in English, right? So cousin really means just a relative, all right? Because we know that Elizabeth was an old lady. So if that was Mary's cousin, then Mary would be old, but we know she wasn't old. All right, so you have to look at the scripture. So cousin really means relative, right? So he said, behold, thy relative Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called God performed a miracle. Everybody knew that she was Mary. For with God, nothing shall be. In other words, is there anything too hard for God? So he said, listen, I'm just giving you this witness for Elizabeth to confirm your faith, or to build your faith up, because everybody knows that she's been barren for years, but she's in the sixth month. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's why you have to use his word. If you use his word, God cannot deny his word. Whereby two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie. What is that? God and his word. Why? Because God is his word. Amen. In the beginning was the word. Alright, so let's keep going. And the angel departed from her because she said, according to thy word. Now, I believe the reason we don't get our miracles is because we do too much reasoning, too much rationalizing. All you need to do is say, God said it, and just bank on it. Right? So now, she didn't say, well, can you explain all this to me? She just said, according to thy what? Word. God's word is so real to us if we would grasp hold of it and speak his word. So Mary got a miracle, and so did Elizabeth. Well, what is a miracle? A miracle, according to the King James Dictionary, is an event or effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things, or a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event. Miracles can only be wrought by the almighty power. Who is that? God. As in the virgin birth of 90-year-old Sarah having a son. Miracles, according to the lexicon, is Strong's G1411. Now, why in Greek is always the U sound? Is dunamis, and specifically refers to being enabled by God, that is empowered with his ability to do as he directs. So Mary said, I don't understand. God said, I'm directing this. All I need you to do is believe it. Power to achieve through the Lord's inherent ability, something that is reached far beyond a miracle. Reaches beyond whose ability? We all stand in need of miracle every day. Because we all have something that man can't do. Now we reference this, let's go to Genesis 18:11-14. Now we're talking about how God does something out of nothing. And I was telling my wife the other day, the amazing thing about about Abraham and Sarah was this. The Bible said that Sarah no longer produced what was necessary to have a child, and also that Abraham was old, right? He couldn't have a child. My thing is that when God performs a miracle, he does it exceptionally. Why? Because after Sarah had a child, Abraham had six other children. right? Because God performed the miracle, so the miracle didn't just stop. And that's not a problem. When God does something magnificent in our life, we say, okay, that's over. He continued to produce kids. Amen. If you read about that, it was, I think, Genesis, the 21st chapter, 22nd chapter. We went over it. So how did he go from being his body being dead to producing? Because God did. It was a miracle. And what we have to, as saints of God, we have to use our miracles as testimonies. Matter of fact, Minister Simon and Sister Simon, Bishop called the other day, and he asked how you all were doing. I said, well, they're doing good. Under the circumstances. And I told him, I said, well, actually, Minister Simon was at an event that he gave his testimony on Saturday before they sang. He said, tell him to keep giving that testimony. He said, because his daughter died, I think, like 10, 12 years ago or something like that. He said, everywhere I go, I still give my testimony. And that testimony helps others. So he said, you all keep giving that testimony. Amen. And he said, then he brought me in. He said, man, I called that young man to encourage him. He said, when I finished talking to him, he encouraged me. And that was a testimony. Amen. But that's, I just want to throw that out for you. All right. So now we're going to Abraham. Verse 11 said, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well-stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. But if you read about it in Romans, the fourth chapter, it explains it in more depth concerning both Abraham and Sarah. Therefore, Sarah laughed within. And that's how I believe we miss so many of our blessings. We can hear the word, but in ourselves we doubt. Amen? We laugh within ourselves and how shall this be? How can God do this? Because God can do anything. Because there is nothing too hard for God. So you can laugh within ourselves saying, after I wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old? He said, both of us are old. But God was about to perform a miracle. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now, you have to understand when the Lord is the Lord and not an angel. All right? Not an angel of the Lord, but the Lord. Because an angel don't know what you think. An angel don't know what's going on in your heart. So we know this had to be a manifestation or a theophany of the Lord, because the Lord said, no, I know what she did in her heart. So that wasn't just an average individual. This was a theophany, a manifestation of God. Amen? So the angel said unto her, unto him, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I be surely bear a child which is old? Is anything, too hard for the Lord at the time appointed? I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. There are three words used in the Old Testament for miracles. One is Mopheth, the other is Oath, and Pala, or as I say, Pela. Oath in the Old Testament means much the same as Simeon in the New Testament, and it's usually translated as signs. Now pay attention to this, because the God is going to tell us, why does he use these signs? Why does he use wonders? Why does he use miracles? It's not just for the church, but it's for those that are watching. Amen. So when God performs a miracle or do a sign in your life, there are others that are what? Watching. Alright? So Mopheth, in the Old Testament, something like wonder or display of God's power. And it's the same as Teros in the New Testament. Both can be seen used in Deuteronomy 26:8. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with oath, and with marvelous wonders. And elsewhere usually talks about the events connected with Exodus. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. The Hebrew parent of Oath and Mopheth seems to be equivalent to the Greek parent of Simeon and either Dunamis or Teras, which we will go over in a little bit. Just like in the New Testament, the words seem to refer to the same thing. The same events at the Exodus were both signs and wonders, as were Jesus's miracles. They were signs and wonders. Now let's pay attention. Power or Pela means something like amazing, better than anything else. We see the first use of Pela in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So this is the first time if anything or Pela is used in Scripture, and it's in reference to the covenant, right? The covenant that God was going to establish with Abraham, and is going to be perpetuated through his seed Isaac. This is the first time it's used. It's also used to mean things which are amazing because they are so difficult to do. And now tonight, do we have some stuff that's difficult to do? Pela. Because there's nothing too hard for God. Our thing is we become accustomed to trusting in man so much we no longer trust in God. I believe it's that Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man that trusted in man." Right? Cursed be the man that trusted in man. But blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. Right? So we don't want to place all of our confidence in man and leave God out. That is one of the biggest mistakes that any child of God can do. I don't care if it is the pastor. You can't have more confidence in the pastor, the bishop, or anybody else than God. Have confidence in God. Because cursed be the man that trusts the man. It says, whose heart departs from the Lord. But blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. Because his trust is in God. Amen? Y'all can read that in Jeremiah 17 in your spare time. Okay? So let's look at Exodus 34:10, for instance. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all my people will I do Pela, marvel." He said, "I'm going to do stuff that you have never seen before." Amen. Because there's nothing too hard for me. Such has not been done yet. Lord, we thank you. Isn't it wonderful to go, God's going to do something that you have never seen before? I have not seen, yet have not heard. Neither has it entered into. God, do it for me. Hallelujah. Nor any nation, and all the people among whose now shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing. And terrible as Yahweh means to be, in all godly fear that will come with thee. So then, what shall we say a miracle is? The word used in the Bible to describe them point to this as a definition. A miracle is a demonstration of what?
God's power.
A miracle is a demonstration of God's power, which acts as a sign to show that God is at work. A miracle is a sign, but it shows that who's at work? God, I want a miracle so everybody can say we can see what God has done in your life. Amen? Yeah. There may, of course, be other purposes for miracles as well. The crossing of the Red Sea also served the purpose of God rescuing his people from the Egyptians. But even then, God could have rescued the Israelites without a miracle. God said in Exodus 14:18 that the purpose was so that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So there are some miracles that God will do in your life, not for you, but for those that are watching you to see that the Lord is with you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
He said, "When I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Amen. That's Exodus 14:18. And after we see the effect of the miracle on God's people, right? So his miracle was a witness to the Egyptians, but it's also a witness to the people of God. Are y'all getting cold? I see these people putting their coats on. Y'all getting cold? Maria's cold.
I'm just cold. Okay.
All right, folks. I'm saving Mr. National Rig.
Amen.
But I can turn it over if you get cold. I'm sweating, so I don't know. All right. So now miracles are for those that are watching you. Because when you get a miracle, they can say, "We know the Lord was in this." All right, turn it off. Hold on. We turn it off. They say, "We know that the Lord was in this," right? Because a miracle can only come from from God. So one of the things that a miracle does is a witness to the saints and to those that are watching you. A miracle is a witness to the saints and to those that are watching you. All right? So it says, God stated the purpose in the miracles of the Exodus was to use them as a sign to show the people that he was and therefore still is God. If anything too hard, Pela. This is the world's most important rhetorical question. Do we know what rhetorical means? Yes, a question that the answer is obvious to. Rhetorical, right? Do you remember the rhetorical question of Paul in Romans? Shall we sin more so that God can give us more grace? Well, we know the answer should be no. But that isn't the unusual part of the verse. The unusual part of the verse is that God is asking the question. Amen. God also questioned Abraham. Why? Because Abraham doubted that Sarah could really have a child when she was so old and he was so doubtful. But God never answers the question, why should he? God's purpose was to shift the focus of Abraham's attention from the hopelessness of Abraham to the what? Absolute ability and power of God. Our miracle, we have to take our focus on our hopeless or helplessness and put it on the absolute power and ability of God. If you need a miracle, talk to God about it. Right? You need a miracle, don't become hopeless or helpless, but have confidence in the awesome working power of God. Amen. I did use miracles on Sunday, but we forgot about Elder Gibbs. Amen. Elder Gibbs is a miracle.
Amen.
For those of us that don't know it, at one point the doctor had told him that not to lift over, what, 5 pounds, Elder Gibbs?
Yep.
Right? He couldn't lift over 5 pounds. They told him to go into disability. He said, you'll never work again in your life. But he believed God for a miracle. How long you been working? 7 years after that, right? Do you look over 5 pounds? Amen. You look at Tanya. I answered the Tanya. They look at each other. I don't know what's going on with that. But what I'm saying is this. The doctors told him to, and that fact, they wanted to put a defibrillator, permanent defibrillator in him, right?
That's right.
And he waited on that because he believed God for a miracle. That is a testimony not only for Elder Gibbs, but for all of us that know where he was at and where he's at now.
Yeah.
Right? He couldn't go outside, he couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. Doctors had him all messed up. Right? So we have to have confidence in the awesome power and ability of God when you need a miracle. Amen? This question, well, actually, go back. This Hebrew word, Pela, can be understood as what? Impossible or wonderful or beyond what? A miracle, a Pela, is wonderful, impossible, beyond one power. This question demands the answer. Of course, nothing is too difficult for who? How many believe that? I remember when we were going up, they say, is there a rock too big for God to move? God can do anything. God has all power. You know, prior to seeing tsunamis and how a tsunami can come and wipe out a whole area, it would be hard to visualize how water can kill so many people. God has all power. Amen. So God can do anything. It's hard to believe how a mountain can be standing and God calls an earthquake and it becomes rubble and a pile of nothing. But God has a power. We can't understand it with our finite mind, but God can do anything. Amen. We all espouse to know and believe that God is omnipotent. That means he can do anything that can be done. But the question is, do we live this is true, or do we really live like it is true? We say God can do anything, but how do we live? What does our life reflect? All right, now let's ask a couple of questions. Now, we've heard this over and over, especially in relationships. I'd like to treat him or her in a more of a godly manner, but nothing would ever change his or her attitude. Selah. God can do anything. Right? There are some relationships we just cut off because they never want to change. Well, you know what? You're saying that God doesn't have the power to do anything. But then we turn around and say God is omnipotent. So we say it with our mouth, but our actions reflect something totally different. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Number two, I want to give to the cause, but I just don't have the resources to do it. I want to help out, but I'll never be able to help out. Really, what about payout? Is there anything too hard for God? So there are many trials and tests that God allows to come our way. Not because God doesn't have a solution or remedy, but he wants to see, do we really trust him and have faith enough to believe he's going to do it? So the longer we wait for, the longer we delay believing and acting and faith he's going to do it, the longer he takes to do it. But once we say, well, pay God, I'm going to trust God. Lord, I don't even have the money, but I'm going to do it anyway. Lord, I don't have not just money, but the resources, but I'm going to do it anyway. Then that's when God steps in to make a way where there is
no way.
No way. But you have to act in faith first because you have to come to God. He that believes must first come to God. Not everybody else, not having a pity party, not drowning yourself in your own sorrows. But you got to come to God and say, Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe, be like the man that had the son need to be healed. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. Verse number three, I know that God wants me to reach these people, but there is no way we can overcome the roadblocks and obstacles in front of us, of me. You've got to be kidding. We can say it again. So we're using these as questions, but this is what we live. This is how many of us act. We say it never going to change. Right? Sometimes we need God to do a special miracle, and then we go look at all of our resources, and we finish our resources, we say, it'll never happen. Then you don't believe in payoff. Because that means God can do anything. God has all power. Amen. When we try to get this church, we went to 8 banks. Now, 8 banks said, impossible, we can't help you. So I told my wife, when they start talking toxic, I didn't listen to people talking toxic. Especially the one guy, I said, he called, I said, I don't know, I don't talk to you all anymore. My wife does. Because I didn't need nobody to tell me what God couldn't do. I wanted somebody to tell me what God can do. Matter of fact, I was dealing with one of the banking institutions that I was dealing with. The guy was a pastor and a Christian. So he was like, well, pastor, such and such and such and such. I was like, well, if anybody want to know better than what you said, it should be you. How you going to talk like that? You a pastor and you telling me how? Well, you a pastor, you got to remember, faith don't pay bills. Yes, you do. Faith does pay bills.
Amen.
And I will save his name because we all might, he might listen to the internet. I did. But what I'm saying is, they kept saying what God could do. But when we were in Georgia at Bishop's Church, I don't know how many remember it, when Bishop Reese was preaching. Bishop Reese prophesied, he said, oh, again, God's giving you that church.
Amen.
When he was preaching, I was shocked. And Bishop Hayes was shocked too. He said, hey, did you hear what Bishop just said? That was God's word. That nullified all those things. Right? And we had one guy who said, listen, this church, this bank has helped me get all my places. I'm going to take you there. I know you're going to help. So the bank asked me to send all the pictures. They were so excited. Oh, they were really, oh, what a beautiful place. They were excited. I never even back from them. How are you going from excited to nothing? Payoff. You got to keep trusting God.
Amen.
Right? So we went to 8, maybe 9 banks. And it just so happened that the last bank said no. And the miracle of this is that when you go buy a house or buy something, you usually have to have 30% of the purchase, we had like 60-something percent of the purchase price. So when I went to the one banker, the guy was very nice. I won't use his name either, but he was very nice. He said, Reverend, you don't have to worry about a thing. This is a slam dunk deal. He said, you got that much money, and you only need another $125 out of the $275,000, and you got $150,000. This is a slam dunk deal. He called me a dead man. He said, I don't know what happened, but my bank said no to you. But he said, don't worry. No worries. I got a man sitting here as I'm talking. He said, he'll help you. And the rest is history. At the right place. You know why? Because you can't allow people, those naysayers, to put their negativity into you when God said he's going to do it. And I did tell, that's when that passage of scripture in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of his promises are yea and amen. I told him, to the glory of God. That's what the scripture said. So I told that pastor, I said, you need to learn your scripture. Because when it comes to pass, what that you see is yay and amen. Well, let's keep going. Time is winding up. I got to get through it. All right. So number four, I want to be a servant of the Lord, but the people prevent me from talking about Jesus. Who controls the people? Pelah, God does. If you just saw all the problems, if you could just see all the problems in my life, you realize that I can't do anything about them. The answer is, yeah. Because what we do is we put God in a box. And that's what God told the children of Israel, I believe, in Psalm 78, verse 41. He said, you have limited the Most High. In other words, you put limitations on God. You gotta let God out of the box. Let God do what he can do. Pale is a word we hear, but don't live. We hear it, we know what? We hear it, but we don't live it. We hear that God can do anything, but we don't live like God can do anything, but there's nothing too hard for God. We don't doubt that God can make a 90-year-old woman pregnant or a virgin, for that fact, but we act as though he can't take care of our... And you know what I do sometimes when I think things are impossible? I just reflect on Mary. How did God take a virgin and produce a child? Right? So sometimes you gotta get some of the most extreme cases in the Bible as a witness for you. And then you have to present those extreme cases to God. Amen? The most extreme, so what I do, I say, wait, I just think, I say, if God can do that for Mary, what can God do for you? If God can do it for Hannah, what can God do for you? But you have to bring your problem, your situation to who? To God. Amen? In the New Testament, there are three groups of words often translated as miracles or miraculous. Dunamis, Simeon, and Tiras. Dunamis comes from the same root as our word dynamic, dynamite, or dynamo. It is well translated by the English word power. Speaking of dynamite, I have to tell you a story. Y'all know a story?
Yes, always.
Dynamite. I know a story about dynamite, for real. When my father, we were in West Point, my father, he worked in the Corps of Engineers. And they were blowing up this mountain and putting this new building. And the mountain that they were working on was near our high school. So my father went and put the dynamite in the hole. And somebody else didn't realize it. So they wouldn't put dynamite in the hole. When they blew that mountain blew rock all the way down on our school and destroyed a bunch of cars. Dynamite. Right? When you use too much dynamite, it can be too powerful. Right? So my father said, you don't know what's wrong with that guy. He knew they already put the dynamite in there. He don't know why they put extra in there. All those cars were destroyed. Now I'm going to have to pick all those cars. Dynamite. Right? So we can use dynamite. Dynamite is power. They were tearing down a mountain to put up some buildings. And they used dynamite. So the next time you think your situation is impossible, do dunamis. Get some dynamite. Get God involved in that situation. So a miracle, where the word dunamis is used, is something powerful that is done. As an example, Acts 8:13 reads, "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the dunamis, miracles, and signs which were done." Simeon means sign. So a miracle where Simeon is used is something that points someone or something out as special and different. In Acts 8:13, the word translated sign, Simeon, every time Kyrios is used in the New Testament, it is paired with Simeon. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it is used to translate the word Malphite. So it seems to me roughly the same as dunamis. So Malphite, which meant wonder, is also dunamis, which is miracle. All three are used in Acts 2:22. Now let's just skip down. We won't read the first, we'll break it down. So ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved. All right, I ain't even trying to attempt that one. I do not want to see it, but I'm going to mess with it right now. To exhibit, literally to show from. So God used Jesus to prove something, to show something. Demonstrate something is what it claims to be. Openly declaring something is authentic by supplying validation or proof. So the Lord used Jesus' miracles to validate who he was. Of God among you by miracles, which is dunamis, we went over, and wonders, which is tyrus, and signs, which is Simeon. All right? Let me do sign Simeon. Simeon, a miraculous sign, a sign of God's purpose, a miracle which is intended to lead us to something out of and beyond the ordinary, that, so to speak, it is kind of a finger point or fingerprint of God. So when you see a miracle, you know that is who? God. Now Mark 6:16. Scripture says, "He that believeth and confesseth with his mouth and believeth in his heart shall be saved." He that what? Who's talking here? Jesus. Right? So Jesus said, if you believe and baptize, you'll be saved. Who has permission to change what Jesus says? Nobody. Jesus said, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen? But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. What's the name? Jesus. It ain't the Father, it ain't the Son, it ain't the Holy Ghost. The power is in the what?
Name.
I believe it was Bishop Johnny James was preaching. He was talking about all Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisqanu, Jehovah this one, Jehovah that one. He said, one old lady came up, she said, "Well, Brother Johnny, I can't say all those Hebrew words, but I know one word that covers them all." He said, "What's that word?" She said, "Jesus." Right? When you know Jesus, you don't have to know the rest. Because Jesus encompasses all. For in Jesus, the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. It's all in the name of who? Jesus. Amen. So he said, "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with." We know that's talking about the Holy Ghost. "They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Now you know you should not tempt the Lord your God.
Amen.
So this don't mean go out and mess with no snake, like those snake charmers. You know, so many of them die every year. This is what God is saying. Alright? If something happens and you're not aware of it, God will keep you. But you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. Amen? "They shall lay hands on the sick and they might recover. These signs shall follow them that believe."
Yes.
You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why James said, "If any is sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church."
Yes.
"Let them anoint them with oil, let them pray on them, and the prayer of faith shall save and shall heal. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Put God to his word. If he said it, test it. And you'll find out you come out a winner every time. So verse 19 says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he will succeed up into heaven and sit on the right hand of God. And they went forth and what? They preached everywhere, but they weren't preaching by themselves. It was what? The Lord was working with them. Well, how do we know the Lord was working with them? Because he confirmed the word through signs following. Now, if we're preaching the word today, shouldn't the signs still be following?
Amen.
So we should expect when we preach the word, Lord, I want you to confirm the word with signs following. Why? Because I'm not working by myself, but the Lord is working with me.
Amen.
He has, Abraham said, is there anything too hard for? The Lord is working with us. So when you preach the word, you got to expect that God is going to perform miracles. We have to expect it, right? One of our slides has been there since we first started Agape. It says what?
Expect a miracle.
Expect a miracle. It becomes so every day we kind of forget it. But we have to remind ourselves daily, Lord, I expect a miracle. Amen? Hebrews 2:4 says, God also bearing them. God, he bears witness to the what? The word. Right, so don't go off on this whole tangent and start preaching this new stuff. A lot of people say, well, I'm preaching, but God's not doing it. Don't preach new stuff. You got to preach the word. God backs the word. God doesn't back a lot of philosophy and theological teaching. That's why he says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So philosophy, God said, I'm not in philosophy. I'm not in vain deceit. I'm not in all of this theological hoopla. God said, you preach my word and I will confirm the word. But when you start bringing in all this new stuff, you're by yourself, amen? Both with signs and wonders and whatever. Die with miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is adunatos, which means powerless or unable. But with God, how many of us really believe in God? All things are possible. You know when it stops being possible? When God doesn't do it. But as long as you got breath of life, you ought to expect a miracle. You ought to believe that God can do the impossible. Dunatos means able, possible, refers to God's unlimited power. Refers to what? Unlimited power that can do all things because of his infinite ability. Dunatos is derived from dunamis, which means power. So we just got to keep believing God. All right. Mark 11:20, we know this is when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Then let's read verse 22. We know he cursed the fig tree, overnight the fig tree withered. And they were shocked. But Jesus tells them, have what? That is a poor translation because it really means have the faith of God. Right? Not in God. Have the faith of God. Who cursed the fig tree?
Jesus.
Who is Jesus? He said, so if you do what I do, you have the same results. So have the faith of God. He was telling them who he was. Now the translators, because they didn't understand it, put in, but that's a poor translation if you cross it. Amen? So then let's go to Mark 6. The question is, why don't we have the miracles today? Why don't we see God moving in a miraculous way today? Mark 6:1 reads, and he went out from thence, talking about Jesus, and came into his own country, and his disciples. So he said, I'm going to go with the people that know me. Right? They ought to know where I came from and who I am. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were
astonished,
saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are? They said, listen, he's performing miracles. Who is he? What is he doing? Listen, who performed miracles? God. Right? And one time when they told Jesus he cast out devils by Beelzebub, he said, if this be the finger of God. Right. When he talks about the finger of God, that goes back to when Israel was in Egypt, and when Moses and Aaron would perform a miracle, the Egyptians would perform the miracles. Then I forgot which one it was, but they got to this miracle, and the Egyptians could do it. The Egyptians told Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. So when Jesus says, I'm doing it by the finger of God, those Jews got upset. They said, you call yourself God. You can throw that in your little baby plate later. Right? The finger of God, that means he is God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right. From whence this man these things? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Hoseas and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were. Now this is why people don't get miracles. Wait a minute, you just talk about all these miracles he's performing. How do you get offended? Well, you know a miracle comes from who?
God.
So if he's performing miracles, why are you offended? Because of what God is doing. Amen? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and about his own kin, and in his own house. A lot of times you go around your family, your relatives, and you say, man, what is wrong with them? They just don't understand. Right? A prophet is not without honor except in his own house. And he could not do that, no. He could do mighty works. He laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he, Lord said, after all that done, how can you not believe? And I think as a church, we need to look around and see some of the things that God has done. And we need to believe. He said, he marveled because of their unbelief. Amen. James 1:6, we are close here. How many of us ask God something in faith? Now, there's two ways you can ask in faith. You can ask in faith out of formality, just to do it. Or you can ask in faith, expecting to receive. So a lot of times, I prayed in faith, but you didn't expect that God was going to do it. So you're praying, and then let's say you're praying for a miracle, and God gives you a little glimpse of that miracle. Not the whole thing, but a little glimpse. And you get shocked, then you didn't expect a miracle. Because when you see it, that should be an encouragement.
Yes.
My wife always say baby steps.
Yes.
Right? Baby steps. Bishop told Sister Caraway, baby steps.
Yes.
She knows what that was, right? So baby steps, you know what? You're seeing a little change. You ought to be encouraged.
Yes.
We see little stuff and get shocked. Like, wow. We should say, God, I see something greater.
Yes.
I see God's about to do something bigger. But first, 6 says, but let him ask in faith nothing you can't doubt. Amen. You can't doubt that God can and doubt will. They said one thing about real Jews, a real Jew never doubts God's power. Because they know that God is power. So they don't doubt God's power. When you doubt, you're saying God does not have the power. You're saying there's something too hard for God when you doubt. You got to keep believing. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. But what? Well, why am I not getting my miracle? Are you asking in faith and doubting? If you are, so let not the man think he shall receive. You can't receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So is God still performing miracles? Yes. But we're not getting the miracles that we need because we don't believe in the word. If you believe in the word, he said, God confirmed the word with signs and wonders. Amen? So if you trust and believe in the word, then you gotta believe that God's gonna confirm the word. Not in your time, but in God's own time. Can we say hallelujah? So how many know that God is still performing miracles? Well, how many of us are gonna really daily expect a miracle? We wake up, and this is how we have been lulled to sleep. We wake up on a daily basis and expect things to be the same as they were yesterday. That's not an expectation. Right? When you expect something, you expect it's going to change. So it's been the same way for 20 years, but tomorrow is a new day. So tomorrow I expect a miracle. I expect a change. Amen? So do we have any questions? Any comments before we dismiss? Any questions or any comments before we dismiss? The floor is open. And remember, there's nothing what? Too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Actually, hey, Mia, can you put, just let me ask this. If y'all have any questions, Mia, can you pull up? She know that. Let me pull up. She disappeared. Well, I'm going to pull up. Y'all just turn to Jeremiah 32, 17 and to Jeremiah 32, 27. All right. This is what God says about nothing being too hard for him. Go to Jeremiah 32, 17 and where's Tanya? I thought she was running up and she was walking slowly. She's walking slowly, but she's sitting in her seat this way. All right, Jeremiah 32, 17. Let me read this for you. Now this is when God tells Jeremiah to do something that makes sense. Jeremiah is prophesying to Judah that the Babylonians were going to come in and completely annihilate Jerusalem, going to completely destroy everything and take everybody captive. And in this 37th chapter, it says the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah and told him by his uncle Phil. So wait a minute. Why would Jeremiah by his uncle Phil if they come in to destroy everything? Does that even make sense? So Jeremiah goes through the transaction, he buys the field, but he knows that the Babylonians are going to destroy everything. Alright? So now let's go. So after he buys the field, you know what he does? He prays. So that's Jeremiah 32, 17. Alright, he said, let's read verse 16. And when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, he said, Lord, I did it because you told me to do it, but I don't understand. Our Lord, behold, thou hast made the heavens and earth by thy great power, and he said, and there he is. I said, now I know you made the heavens, I know you made the earth. He said, but I'm praying because you told me to do something that don't make sense. By thy stretched out arm, thou showest love and kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in works. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. To give everyone according to his, God will give you according to your way, according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with what? Signs and wonders in the Bible. And with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou hast sware to their fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they, if you want a miracle from God, you have to do what? Obey his voice. Neither walk in thy law, they have done nothing of all that thou commanded them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them because of what? They were disobedient. Behold the mouth, they are come unto the city to take it, And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And what does he do? He's praying. Because God just had them buy a land that they're about to destroy. But God has a plan. Amen? They're fighting against it because of the sword, and of this famine and pestilence. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for mine, and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of Chaldeans. Then came the word unto the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am. He said, I know you don't understand it, but just do what I said. Just be obedient. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of what? I am the Lord, I'm the God of all flesh. He said, is there? Okay. Talk to me. I hear the preacher. It ain't me. Too hard for me. Jeremiah didn't understand it. And what I'm saying is this, there are many things we don't understand, but when you just act in faith and obedience, God will perform your miracle that you need. Because it didn't make sense for Jeremiah to buy land. He said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And then if you jump up to, I believe, Jeremiah 39, you see that when they did come in and conquer Jerusalem and burn it, they asked Jeremiah, do you want to go back to Babylon or do you want to stay here? That's when you know you got God's favor. When the enemy asks you, what do you want to do? God delivered two people that day. Jeremiah and Abed-Melech, because Abed-Melech delivered him. And God said, Jeremiah to Abed-Melech, he said, because you trust in God, I'm going to deliver you. Two were delivered out of a whole nation. So don't let the what's popular sway you one way or the other, amen? All right, let us stand. I don't think we're going to have any questions. Let us stand. How many want a miracle? Then obey God. And expect your miracle. Amen. Does anyone need prayer? Anything before we dismiss? Anyone need prayer? Yes, sir.
The door is not locked. Oh, it could be the taxi service.